Hello and a warm welcome to another edition of The Debate on Press TV. I'm your host, Behruz Najafi. Tensions have again flared up in the Gaza Strip. The escalation came following a botched Israeli assassination operation in the city of Khan Yunis on Sunday. Seven Palestinians and an Israeli lieutenant colonel were killed in the ensuing clashes. Israeli fighter jets on Monday waged airstrikes all over Gaza, while Palestinians fired dozens of rockets into Israel in retaliation for its covert assassination operation Sunday night. So far, three Palestinians have lost their lives in the Israeli air raids. One Israeli was also killed in Palestinian rocket attacks. Let me now go live to Ashraf Shannon, our correspondent in Gaza, to learn about the latest on the ground over there. Ashraf, over to you.
Yes, Behruz, the Israeli airstrikes continue even until this moment. Just minutes ago, there was an airstrike in the central Gaza Strip refugee camp of Al-Burayj, earlier in Rafah, also airstrikes and in northern Gaza. Since yesterday, Israeli forces have killed 10 Palestinians, seven in the assassination attempt in the southern Gaza Strip town of Khan Yunis, and three were killed today during Israeli airstrikes. Meanwhile, Palestinian resistance groups have vowed to retaliate and avenge the killing of the members of Hamas's military wing yesterday. And we saw this, we saw it today with the dozens of the homemade rockets being fired into Israel. And these rockets continue to be fired even as we speak now.
All right, thank you for that update. That was Ashraf Shannon, our correspondent, who joined us live from Gaza. Let me now introduce the guests who will be joining us in this debate to discuss the issue. We'll have journalist and political commentator Maxine Dover from New York, and also professor of political science from Birzeit University, Saad Nimr, who's joining us from Ramallah. Okay, now let me start with Maxine Dover in New York. Israeli undercover forces invaded Khan Yunis in Gaza, and they were in a civilian vehicle, and that happened on Sunday night in an assassination operation against Hamas forces. Now, what's the reason behind Israel's steering this relative calm situation?
Well, I think we have to go back several steps. And the immediate back step is the infiltration of a Palestinian who was successful in destroying a greenhouse in a border community. And that was an infiltration some 2 kilometers into Israeli territory. The response was very concerned because this was a residential area. This is a town with greenhouses, with regular commerce and regular industrial activity, and apparently the infiltrator had been in that area more than once, several times, according to the interrogation. What he may have told the Israeli police at that point is, of course, unknown to any of us, and to Israeli security, that is, and that may have led to the undercover activities during which an Israeli high-ranking officer was killed and during which several Hamas officers or operatives were killed as well. And the other counterbalance to this, which is hard to understand, is that very recently, within about a week, monies were released with the negotiation of Qatar and the influence of Qatar. Monies were released to pay the salaries of civil workers working under Hamas and to reestablish electricity in Gaza on a more regular basis. Now, lone wolves can be very, very dangerous. They can incite major conflicts.
Okay, now let's go to Ramallah, to Saad Nimr. First, Saad, do you agree, do you want to comment on Maxine's idea? And also, what do you think the Israeli military escalation is starting now? About the timing, why now?
Yeah, well, there are at least, you know, we have two ideas here about this event. The first of all, that after the talks between Hamas through the Qataris and the Egyptian with the Israelis, now we are talking about a calm down of Gaza, between the escalation between the Israelis and Gaza Strip. And the Hamas and all other Palestinian parties, they agreed to this calm down, and consequently we know that the money came out through even the Israeli gates, if you like, and also the deal about the electricity and other things, that they were proceeding towards really a kind of a calm down and an understanding of the next stage. What happened that the Israeli had just broke all that for two reasons. The first one is that Israel wanted also to say, in spite of this calmness and this kind of deal, we have also to set a new rules, that in spite of this deal, we still allowed to do a hot pursue, as they would call it, or if you like, we still have the free hand to assassinate whoever we want to assassinate. This is on the one account. The other account is also the problems inside the Israeli government, since we are talking about less than a year for the next elections. All the estimations by the Israeli analysts saying that if that operation was a successful, which they aimed at kidnapping the Palestinian leader of Hamas, person who they assassinated later on, to kidnap him because they think that he had information about whereabout the Israeli captured soldier in the tunnels in Gaza, and he knows the maps of the tunnels, and they thought that if they capture him and get back with him, that will be a very, very, good catch. But things went bad because the Hamas were watching everything, and there was this clash between them, and then the Israeli airplanes interfered to do all the killings. What we think is that in spite of the fact that we do kind of agreements with the Israelis, always they break these agreements because they think from their point of view that their security comes first, and they thought that it is a good opportunity for them to capture the Shahid, this guy of Hamas, and to bring him back to Israel and to interrogate him. In spite of all and every talks going on through these days, the problem between Lieberman as the war minister and Netanyahu to gain a huge support in the next elections if that operation was successful. But fortunately enough for the Palestinians, at least, that Hamas were just watching, and they were alerted enough to make this operation a total failure. And I'm talking also in accordance to the Israeli media, who call it a total failure and a win situation for Hamas in this respect.
Let's get to New York, over to Maxine. Palestinian resistance groups have said that they will continue to defend the Palestinian people. They promise that the enemy will pay a heavy price for its crime. What do you think about the response from the Palestinian groups?
I think it's a very foolish response. I think the Palestinian people are paying for the crimes of this kind of leadership or non-leadership. I think there's an opportunity here to change the atmosphere, to change the living conditions, to change the reality on the ground. And if Hamas feels threatened, if its leaders feel threatened, they are willing to sacrifice the lives of the Palestinian
Maxine,
people.
They don't feel they are threatened. They were threatened,
actually. Both their lives and their lifestyle.
Yeah, you said there is a chance, but the Israelis just ruined that chance, not the Palestinians.
Well, I think that the Israeli operation is, as Israeli media has reported, a failure, and certainly it was not what was intended. Perhaps part of this negotiation should have been the return of the bodies and the return of the captives. This is would be a very, very small albeit symbolic, but a very, very small addition to the negotiation. The difference that having salaries paid will make in the life of an everyday person, wherever that person lives, if that person is in Gaza and he can now go and buy milk and bread for his children, having a salary that has not been there for months and months, this is a fabulous thing. You know, I once had a conversation way back in 91 when someone said to me, wouldn't it be wonderful if the factories would stop building tanks and start building refrigerators? And wouldn't it be wonderful if this $15 million could in fact be seed money for a more normalized life? But if the leadership of Hamas is not going to allow the Palestinian people in Gaza to enjoy that, the simple facts of electricity, the simple facts of being able to turn on a washing machine or turn on a light bulb. And if Hamas leadership feels threatened by this and sends its operatives to burn greenhouses, to infiltrate residential areas in Israel, then there has to be a security response. And yes, Israel does have a first responsibility to carry out security for its citizens. There's no question of that.
Okay, going to Ramallah, to Saad Nimer, what do you think are the chances of a full-blown invasion by Israel following this recent escalation?
I don't think that the Israelis are ready for such an operation and on a very large scale, because by the end of the day, the Israelis do know the price. The only thing they can do is bombarding Gaza. They are not going to invade Gaza because they know exactly that the readiness of the Palestinian factions go against any attack in Gaza. And I think yesterday's operation is one example of that, because the resistance in Gaza are fully alerted to any Israeli attack. And definitely they are going to defend, and I'm insisting on this word, to defend the Palestinian people in Gaza. And I'm trying now to comment a little bit on your respected guest from New York. I think this is, you know, rubbish sometimes, because when we are talking about such an operation, which is totally planned well, undercover, I don't think it's a response for burning a greenhouse. It is premeditated and ready to do it, you know, for a while. And the Israelis were trying to do that for a while, and they plan it for a while. I don't accept at all the accusation about that. Who's responsible? Is Hamas responsible? The Hamas were welcoming this deal, and they were about to accept everything was offering in this case, because they want also to take over this restriction on the Palestinian people in Gaza. The one who broke that was the Israelis. And we also blame Hamas for that, because, you know, they should be good boys and say to Israel, thank you, do whatever you like, kill us, and we are not going to retaliate because we want to tell you that we are good boys. No, we are not good boys. If you attack the Palestinian, we will attack back. They have to understand this kind of equation. This is a new equation, and Israel have to understand it, that if you attack Gaza any time, the Palestinian resistance is going to retaliate.
Maxim, do you want to comment on that?
You know, we're on this horrible cycle of you attack, I attack. Who attacks first? There are things that must be changed, and that includes infiltration into residential areas in Israel. That includes tunnels. And we've spoken about tunnels where the resources used to build tunnels for terror should be being used for building a house or building a store or building a school in the ordinary lives of the citizens of Gaza. This is a 10-year tragedy that has been going on in Gaza since the withdrawal, the entirely unilateral withdrawal from Gaza under Ariel Sharon. When things, and you know, you go to the symbolic greenhouses. Here were greenhouses that could have been industry, that could have sparked the economy of Gaza. And instead, yes, they were burned. Was this greenhouse that was burned in Israel a similar symbol, a sort of look, we can do it symbol? This is a time when maturity and rational leaders have to be willing to look at the negatives that their so-called leadership has done to their people, and I speak on both sides of the border, but especially to the Palestinian people, and especially the leadership, the so-called leadership of Hamas, which has endangered and destroyed so much in Gaza. Gaza City was booming. Gaza City had shopping centers. Gaza City had resorts, and people came and enjoyed the atmosphere. And Hamas has changed that totally, totally to the negative.
Well, but the international community believes, most of the international community believes, that Israeli crippling siege in the past 12 years have done all that misery to Gaza Strip. Anyway, let's go to Saad Nimr. Saad, Hamas and the Islamic Jihad have said in a joint statement that we will not allow the enemy to impose new equations by shedding the blood of our people, and also they warned them against continuing. Now, what are those equations that Israel is trying to impose on Palestinians?
Yeah, that's what I said at the very beginning, that the new equation, that even with this kind of agreement for the calm down, we are still have the right to assassinate or to do some operations inside Gaza. So we are doing a calm down from Hamas side, but not from the Israeli side. They still have the right to come into Gaza, do some operations, or as they call it, surgical operation, by assassinating some of the leaders, and Hamas should be okay with that. And this is the equation that the Palestinians are not going to accept at all. And that's exactly what I said last, that if you attack us, we are going to attack you. Now, another thing I would like, you know, to make comment on, that please, in America, don't forget that we are under occupation for the last 51 years. Occupation, by the definition of law, is an act of violence. So who started that? Who started this? Hamas wasn't there till 1987, but the Israeli occupation was in Gaza since 1967. So we are talking about 20 years before Hamas, there is an Israeli occupation. Who started then all that? Then your money, which you are paying to Israel, around $4 billion every year. Israel is building tanks with that, and you don't want Hamas to build tunnels? We don't have F-16, madam, but we have, again, you know, some rockets. We don't have Merkava tanks, but we have tunnels. We don't have maybe an army who's number one army in the whole region, but at least we have people who believe that they should defend themselves. Israel have the right, from your point of view, to defend itself, and the Palestinians don't have right to defend themselves, regardless of the name, Hamas or not. You demonize Hamas, but not the Palestinian people. Palestinian people don't demonize Hamas. Palestinian people think that Hamas is fighting for the right of the Palestinians to get rid of the occupation. The siege of Gaza, and before that, it's Gaza still under occupation. Who determine what comes into Gaza or what not to come to Gaza? It's Israel still. They are preventing hundreds of items to go into Gaza. I'm talking about food, not talking about other materials. No, including spices, they are not allowed to go to Gaza, but with the Israeli approval. This kind of siege is continuation of the occupation. When people under occupation, by the international law, they have the right to defend themselves and to use any and everything in their hands to defend themselves, to end that occupation. Occupation is illegal. Occupation is unethical.
All right. Maxine, Palestinians have regularly staged peaceful protest rallies near the so-called buffer zone, and that happened since the end of March, and they call it Great March of Return rallies. Now, Israeli forces have responded by taking more than 215 Palestinian lives. Tel Aviv has faced international condemnation for these atrocities against unarmed Palestinian protesters. Now, why should Tel Aviv continue to enjoy impunity despite all these crimes it's been committing?
Well, let's go step by step. First of all, unarmed is a rather funny term when you're looking at Molotov cocktails and when you're looking at stones that are just as deadly as bullets very frequently. Yes, I will agree there are no tanks at on the Palestinian side of the border, but it doesn't stop these protesters, these so-called peaceful protesters, from bearing deadly weapons. May I ask my colleague in Ramallah the last time that President Abbas was feeling safe enough to go to Gaza and to interact with Hamas? It's not only the Israelis who have trouble with Hamas, it's also Fatah. And it's the government of the Palestinian state in waiting that is fearful of interacting with Hamas, that lost an election to Hamas, an election that was supposed to be for a period of time and just has gone on and on and on, and is now dictated by Hamas. Withdrawal of Israel, I go back to the unilateral withdrawal of Israel from Gaza, could have been,
of course, they were forced
a mark
to withdraw.
Of growth, and
yes,
they
ahead,
weren't
please.
Forced to withdraw. They withdrew. They withdrew against the wishes of the people who were living there. They withdrew in a unilateral action because it was hoped that that would just lead to a normalization.
Okay.
And that is something that Hamas did not allow to happen.
Okay, Maxine, we're running short of time. Let's go to Saad Nimr. Let's have your comments on Maxine's comments briefly, please.
Yeah, briefly. I don't need to go to Gaza because Hamas also in the West Bank. They are, for God's sake, in my university as a students and even in the staff, because you don't understand that Hamas is an integral part. It's part of the Palestinian people, regardless of how much they are representing, 15%, 20%, more or less. Don't forget also that in 2006 they won the elections fairly. It was transparent elections and everyone accepted that, apart from Israel and America. Yes, but also Mahmoud Abbas was also elected at that time and he's still going on. Now the issue about the elections today, it's about, you know, to end the separation between Gaza and West Bank and to have a reconciliation between the Palestinians to do the elections and let have the Palestinians do that. But who's the one who's trying always not to give the opportunity even for the Palestinians to have a reconciliation? It's Israel. Because they like, you know, what they see, that the West Bank and Gaza Strip are separated from each other. They are the first beneficial of this separation.
Mm-hmm. All right. On that note, I should thank both our guests who joined us in this debate, to journalist and political commentator Maxine Dover from New York, and also professor of political science with Brzez University, Saad Nimr, who joined us from Ramallah. Thank you both for taking part in this debate. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time.